2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. I was trying not to jinx us, Scott, because last time that we got into this thing when the Jazz were playing during our show, I was giving out score updates in the first half because I was like, oh, man, they're doing awesome. They ended up losing against the Knicks, and I told you, they'll probably end up going to Milwaukee and playing a lot better, and here they are in the third quarter with 4 minutes left in the third. The Jazz up 87-81 on the Bucks. So, yeah, I don't know what to think about this team, but certainly it's weird. I guess the early parts of the schedule are always weird as these teams try to figure themselves out. And look, we don't know anything about basketball. Case in point,
We don't know anything about basketball.
No, I'm like, at least at this point of the year, case in point, the Phoenix Suns are like 6-2, and they're leading. They're like second place in the West right now. So,
well, I could have told you the Phoenix Suns were going to be a good team this
year. Oh, because they went undefeated in the bubble? Come on.
Well, no, because they started to amass some pretty good players.
I get it, but I just refuse to believe. I just refuse to recognize a world where the
I'm telling you, the Jazz messed up when they got rid of Ricky Rubio.
He's already moved on from the Suns too, though. You're saying that whole thing, he kind of set the bar down there, and then he left again to go back up to his beloved Minnesota. All right. Dude, what do you think he loves more, Utah or Minnesota? Because he's back in Minnesota.
You know how cold it is in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. But did you tell him about the snowpack here? It's not very good this year. He knows about that, too.
He understands it.
Scott, tomorrow at 12:35 on KSL News Radio on Cougar Sports Saturday, you can hear this interview in its entirety. It's Tom Holmoe sitting down with our own Mitch Harper, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You can hear that tomorrow. I have a couple things I wanted to play. We've been just really, really glad that BYU was able to have the season that they did, not just because they were able to play 12 games and win, you know, 11 of those, but every week we had something, Scott. Even in those weeks when everybody else seemed to be shutting it down or COVID protocols, this or that and the other, we were able to say, hey, Zach Wilson's starting his fourth game of the year. He's having a pretty decent year so far. You know, whatever it was, but we were always in awe that with all the things that were going on around us, Tom Holmoe was able to put this season together. We've just been really tons of respect to Tom Holmoe and what he's done for the program this year for BYU, right?
Yeah, I mean, if a team did it right this year, it was certainly BYU. And Tom Holmoe was just, I mean, he was a magician. I mean, I still can't get over that day when their schedule just imploded.
Down to two games.
And they had two games.
Yep.
And you're just like, wow.
And you know what the two games were? San Diego State and North Alabama.
Right. I was feeling so sorry for BYU. I was just like, oh, is this going to be a bad year? And then they just put together a magical year. But you have to, you know, Tom Homo was great, but so was Kalani, and so was the whole football organization. They just had the right attitude about things, you know. It was just and I'm sure if these teams like in the Pac-12 and Utah, if they'd have started earlier, I really think that the season would have been much, much better for them. I think a lot of things actually, they probably would have got a lot of games in earlier in the season. It would have been a much better experience for all of these players. But I'm telling you, BYU, they were the poster children for handling it the right way with COVID.
Let's listen to some of the things, because we were kind of made aware of how difficult it was just to get this season going. And one of the things that Mitch asked Tom Homo was about was if he was surprised that it had gone as far as it did, or if he thought the season was going to get canceled.
You know, I never thought that we wouldn't have a season. I just thought it would be really shortened. We when you saw that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were not going to play, and the MAC came out, the Mid-America Conference came out early and said they weren't going to play, the Ivy League said they weren't going to play, those were all indicators of bad news.
Bad news. I was like, I love how we always bring up, I think, let me just say this. We did this in basketball, too. We give way too much weight for whatever the Ivy League is saying. Who has ever cared what Cornell's football team was going to say?
Well, they cared back in the 1800s.
Because they invented football. Yeah. Okay, so here's the next one here about, he said it really came down to one conference in particular. I was actually pretty shocked as to who it was.
And it wasn't looking good at all, but they were saying they're going to do everything they could to play. And that kind of inspired me, and it gave me hope.
He's talking about the Big 12, by the way.
Right.
That even though the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were out, that we could do it. And it took the SEC and the SEC and ACC came in first, and then the Big 12 was going to be the teeter. If the Big 12 was out, they would have canceled the college football season.
Wow.
And when the Big 12 said we're in, then we had three P5s in, and from that point, it started to unfold. And that is what I was kind of hoping for.
And to think that then the phone calls start flying around and you start picking up teams, you start having relationships with teams you've never even heard about. And I'm sure BYU fans felt the same way. Criticize the schedule as much as you want. They played 12 games this year, Scott. And Zach Wilson owes everything to Tom Homo for putting that thing together. Zach Wilson had the year that he did and is likely a top five pick in the NFL for a lot of these guys on their draft boards because Tom Homo and, you know, and some of these, commissioners said, we're just going to push forward and do this thing.
See, I don't really care about who BYU played. I'm not sitting here going, oh, yeah.
Everybody else does, Scott. Everybody loves telling me about how terrible their schedule is.
I could care less about that. What I care about and what was impressive, and it was impressive from the Navy game on, was BYU showed up. They showed up to play. In years past, I think that's been a frustration where they potentially played down to their opponents, or they were uninspired, or they were unemotional, or they just, it just didn't seem like they really cared that much. And you didn't get that. When they played an opponent and the opponent was not very good, they put it to them, and they were willing. I love that they went and played Coastal Carolina. It's unfortunate that the game didn't end up the way they wanted, but there's just this attitude of, you know, we're going to play to win. We're not going to sit back on things. And that's what, to me, if anything came out of the season for BYU, for me, it was that right there, that they just said, look, we're going to show up and play every week, and we don't care who it is, and we're going to put forth a great effort. And I think it was really beneficial for a guy like Zach Wilson and where he's going to end up. And I think it's beneficial for the whole program and that they set a standard and hopefully it's something that they can continue to build on and go into the future with. Cause it's really disheartening as a fan to watch just lackluster play and attitude.
And let me play one last clip here from Tom Homo that you're here. The full interview in its entirety tomorrow on KSL's Cougar Sports Saturday. This is what he had to say about what the schedule will look like if, you know, they're not feeling great about where they're at COVID-wise for next season.
So when you start talking about the 21-22 athletic year, I still feel like we're going to have to play that very cautiously. We're all hoping that the vaccine is around and that those numbers will begin to drop, and that herd immunity starts to, that term we heard a long time ago, starts to take place. But we're going to stay to our philosophy, which has been take it a day at a time, look out and try to make plans, but those plans are in chalk.
I feel like everybody needs to be flexible going forward. I mean, that's what made it for BYU, the ability to be flexible, and that independence that kind of came after you before and bit you, now it ended up being really good for
BYU. Well, it's hard because you got to plan for the season, yeah. But we don't know what things are going to look like in 4 months. That's a challenge.
We're certainly crossing our fingers. We'll see what ends up happening. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. It's not the MVPs. It's the so-poo-poo list coming up. Yes, the anti-MVPs, the people in sports who earn our distrust and get the anti-awards. So stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.